get this dirigible up and see if a sucker will float. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. On the Malloy program, thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while. This is Monday night, and as promised, tonight we are going to do podcast trivia. We have three subscriptions to give away tonight, one each hour, at the bottom of each hour, because we did not do it Friday night. Friday night instead, of course, we spent the entire program talking about the death of Walter Cronkite. Well, not the death of Walter Cronkite, but the impact he had on this country for what seemed like a lifetime. In fact, it was only 20 years. Anyway, we'll be doing that coming up at the bottom of this hour, next hour, and the third hour tonight. So if you would like to win a free one-year podcast subscription, these are still from anonymous. We're still working on the anonymous donor.
No, we have a couple more anonymous donors now been generous enough to...
Don't any of these people want to have their names put on?
Sponsor some Truth Seeker subscriptions for needy Truth Seekers who otherwise couldn't hear the show. Not yet.
Okay. Well, then off we go. Don't you hope that the people who have seized Private Bergdahl, 23 years old, of Ketchum, Idaho. Bowie, is it Bowie? B-O-W-E, Bowie or Bo? Bo Bergdahl. I guess it's Bo. That those people who have him now in their possession, the ones who produced the video of Private Bergdahl talking about how he hopes he can get home, don't you hope that those people don't do what we did? See, here we are. You knew this would happen, and I think most military planners knew it would happen. It was a little bit disingenuous, I think, of Secretary of Defense Gates today when he made the statement about he thought the capture of this soldier is outrageous or an atrocity or whatever it was he said. Not the capture, but the showing of the videotape. This from the same man who, during his tenure as Secretary of Defense and prior, did not step out and insist in no uncertain terms that the United States, whether it's the U.S. military or the U.S. CIA, the world's number one terrorist organization, or whoever it was, who was torturing people who had done nothing. They were not combatants, as Private Bergdahl. They were people who had been purchased from, to a large extent, from the Northern Alliance, a gang of Afghanistan's top flight drug dealing criminals. They had been purchased and then brought to the United States base in Cuba or to various unnamed sources or renditioned where they were tortured. So for Robert Gates to make the statement that he did today is just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. Personally, I hope that this young man is released. I have a sick feeling that his captors may have a different plan for him. But here we are, that moment that anyone with the sense evolution gave a pissant knew would come. We knew this. The human rights organizations have talked about it. The, you know, left-wingers and the progressives and people like that, the ones who hate America, have been talking about this for years. We can't scoop people up for no reason, purchase them, pay the ransom to buy them, bring them here, and treat them the way we have treated these people, some of them for as long as 7 or 8 years, and not expect that when the day comes and it has arrived, one of our or more than one of our people are captured, that the same thing will not apply. To add an extra layer to this tragedy, the United States is the United States. It is a state player. Apparently, the people who have captured Private Bergdahl are so-called non-state player. So to whom do you protest? You say there's no State Department for the Taliban, if that's who has him. There is no foreign ministry for the Taliban, if that's who has him. There is nothing that the United States can do about this situation. Nothing. Nothing. Except hope that Private Bergdahl is not treated by his captors the way we have been treating people for the past 8 years. I seriously doubt if his captors are considering tit for tat or looking at a balance scale somewhere. I don't think that crosses their minds. I think the fact that they're holding this man means that they will hold him until he's no longer has value to them, no longer has propaganda value or whatever you want to call it, and then they will kill him. It's fairly simple, I think, in their minds. It's certainly not in mine, but in their minds. Use him until he can no longer be used, and then kill him. It is something that we know occurs among these tribes people. This is not a condescending attitude by a Western power, not Western power, but a spokesman who lives in a Western power. That would be me. It's not a condescending attitude. It's not cultural imperialism of any sort. It is a different culture. It's a different situation. When people no longer have value or do something to piss off the mighty Muhammad, the Taliban will step in and behead them or kill them or bury them alive or stick them in cartons and let them cook in the middle of the desert. It's a whole different situation. And we know this. We know this. We know that the difference in attitude regarding how one handles one's adversaries is very obvious. So I would hope that somehow this young man is freed. Now, apparently that's not shared by everybody. We have some sound for you we're going to play when we come back. That is outrage upon outrage. This is from a guy who is on Fox News, a Fox News commentator. Apparently he's former military. Is that Ralph Peters? He's identified as strategic analyst Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, who suggests, not very obliquely, that the Taliban should go ahead and kill him and save us the time and the energy of bringing him to trial for desertion. This filthy pig, Lieutenant Colonel, also refers to this young man as a coward, a deserter. It makes you wonder what the filthy pig Lieutenant Colonel is using as his source of information, doesn't it? We'll play that for you when we come back. Every time we do something like this off of Fox News, you know, Kathy and I both look at each other and go, Jesus Christ, they can't get any lower. And then they come up with something like this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And there's no such thing as smart bombs. The fact is there's these people that they said they had to bomb. When in fact it was just a wedding. The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is in Afghanistan more died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
It takes the lucky.
You're invited to the Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. Price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. Past the hour. So the host of another one of these sewer programs on Fox, the program is titled America's News Headquarters. Is that right? Oh my God! Anyway, she's a typical Fox babe named Julie Banderas, and she had an interview with Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters about the capture of Bo Bergdahl by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Shockingly, Colonel Peters here seems to suggest that because one theory is that Bergdahl left his post, he deserves to die. Even the news babe seemed surprised at that one. Julie says...
Nobody in the military that I've...
I'm sorry. Julie says, when one of our troops is captured, this is the news babe, how do we get him back? How do we get him back safely? Strategic analyst, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, joins us now. When he was captured on June 30th, apparently Bergdahl was captured while he was walking away from his U.S. base camp. Many people are emailing me and asking, how can a soldier walk off from a base on his own? Wouldn't there always be another soldier with him? Wouldn't he be partnered with another person? What can you tell us about that, Colonel?
Nobody in the military that I've heard is defending this guy. He is an apparent deserter. Reports are indeed that he abandoned his buddies, abandoned his post, and walked off. We'll see what the ultimate truth of it is. But if he did, if he's a deserter in wartime, well, as one of my old platoon sergeants used to say, he's in Boku Deep Kimchi. Now, there's another problem, Julie. On that video, he is collaborating with the enemy. Under duress or not, that's really not relevant.
Oh my God.
He's making accusations about the behavior of the military in Afghanistan that are unfounded, saying there are no rules. He's lying about how he was captured, saying he lagged behind a patrol. Julie, I'll tell you, any 11 Bravo infantryman will tell you that's not how it works. In a war zone, any soldier is aware of where all his buddies are. If it's a night patrol, you're sure aware of where the guy in front of you, behind you is. So we know this private is a liar. We're not sure if he's a deserter, but the media needs to hit the pause button and not portray this guy as a hero.
Hit the pause button and not portray this guy as a hero. Now, can you imagine his parents in Idaho who may or may not listen to this bastard, may or may not listen to Fox News, may or may not think that strategic analyst Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters is a real son of a bitch. It's their son. It's their son who's been captured. And here is this guy saying he's collaborating with the enemy. He's lying about how he was captured under duress or not is not relevant. He's making accusations about the behavior of the military in Afghanistan that are unfounded. What did the guy say? Julie responds to Peter's outlandish remarks, then asks this follow-up. Do I read the follow-up? Okay. Julie Banderas responds to Peter's outlandish remarks, then asks this follow-up. Wow. All right. Well, I mean, obviously, I don't want to speculate here. From what I know, what we know as a news agency, we watched this video. First of all, the reason we are not airing the video, the network has decided we will not air this video because that is what his captors want. They want that message to get out there, and we're not going to do the Taliban any favors here. But in a case like this, where a soldier is taken captive, how does the military prepare for this? Number one, and how do they get their guy back?
For right now, I think he's okay. They're not going to kill him right away, if at all, because he has tremendous propaganda value. He's saying, making anti-American statements, and he wants to investigate Islam, blah, blah, blah. Now look, Julie, I want to be clear. If when the facts are in, we find out that through some convoluted chain of events, he really was captured by the Taliban, I'm with him. But if he walked away from his post and his buddies in wartime, I don't care how hard it sounds. As far as I'm concerned, the Taliban can save us a lot of legal hassles and legal bills.
Oh, God.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, thank you very, very much. Regardless of what the situation is, we do not want to see any U.S. soldier in harm's way, and we hope that this guy gets out of there safely. He's an American. He's one of ours. Thank you very much.
Think about his buddies. Think about his buddies.
Who this freak lieutenant colonel is suggesting, I guess, want to see him dead. I can't believe that people like that. I guess he's retired. I doubt if this guy would be in this Peters would be in any kind of a command position with that kind of an attitude. Son of a bitch. It's incredible. It even upset the little bubble-haired bleach blonde on Fox, who didn't quite know how to respond to Bandera saying, yeah, well, they could save us some money and legal hassles. You know, kill him. Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon on the highway and up to 600 highway miles in a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. No 25 before the hour. All right, we're going to open up the phones now. And if you would like to play podcast trivia and win a free one-year subscription to the Malloy podcasting thingamajig, now's the time to call in, 877-996-2556. We're giving away one each hour tonight. So thanks to our anonymous donor. Matter of fact, a couple of anonymous donors, but now's the time to do it. 877-996-2556. See if you can glom one of these up. While Kathy is getting the calls on the line, now, regarding how the Taliban may treat our soldier, a CBS analyst says that on the early show this morning, an analyst, terrorism analyst, Jerry Van Dyke, argued, quote, what the Taliban are saying by showing this video is that, quote, we can treat American soldiers, we can treat prisoners better than Americans are treating them. End double quote there. Now, speaking to co-host Maggie Rodriguez about the capture of Bo Bergdahl, Van Dyke continued to explain his observation. He says, quote, there's a story in the New York Times this morning, also in the Wall Street Journal earlier, about prisoner abuse. Americans abusing prisoners in Afghanistan. What the Taliban are saying to the Afghan public is, we can do a better job. Do not be afraid of us in the future. End quote. Rodriguez accepted that premise and then added, quote, because he's clean, the place looks like he's being fed. They're taking care of him. End quote. Van Dyke went on, quote, that's a signal there. He's wearing nice clothes. He's being fed. He has a cup of tea there. What they're saying is that they will protect to the death a guest in their home. He's in someone's home right now. Van Dyke went on to predict, quote, my belief is, my hope, of course, is, and my cautious feeling is that he will be protected. He will not be harmed. And In contrast to Van Dyke and Rodriguez discussing the accommodations the Taliban were providing to their, quote, guest, end quote, in a preceding report on CBS Early Show, correspondent Mandy Clark described the video as, quote, heartbreaking, end quote. She described Private Bergdahl as being nervous and scared. Clark went on to report, quote, the U.S. military have condemned the video as Taliban propaganda. And she then cited spokesman Colonel Greg Julian with the U.S. military, who said, quote, we're very unhappy with the public exploitation of a prisoner and the humiliation that goes with that. It violates international law, end quote. Isn't it amazing that someone in speaking for the United States, I don't want to say somebody in the military, because I think there are still people in the military who understand international law, who understand the Geneva Conventions, who understand how important it is to, as long as we're going to have wars, at least to play by the rules. Yikes. All right. Let's take a break from this Sturm und Drang and do a little podcast trivia. It's time once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program, courtesy of one of our anonymous donors slash listeners. We have in my hand right here three this evening free podcast subscriptions, the first of which we are going to give away like right now. Let's start with Sam, who is in Portland, Oregon, listening on KVOJ. Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good. You're a regular listener?
Yes, I am.
I guess a silly question would be, why do you want a podcast, but I'll, a subscription, but I'll ask it anyway. Why do you want a podcast subscription, he said stupidly.
Well, because I can't always be at home next to a computer or listening to you on the radio, and it's nice to have you in my iPod wherever I go.
Well, that's a good answer. That's a great answer. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. President Bush, former President Bush, has been arrested three times in his life that we know of. Which violation of the law has Bush not been arrested for? A, theft of a large Christmas wreath from a hotel. B, DUI. C, property damage, ripping down Princeton goalposts in college. Or D, murder. Which violation of the law has Bush not been arrested for? Theft, DUI, property damage, or murder?
Well, that almost sounds like a trick question, but I've got to go with D on that one.
D, murder. Oh, my God, you're right so far. All right, Sam. Yeah, that was somebody said these are real softball questions. No, I don't think so. We're talking about a president here who's been arrested for theft, DUI, property damage. There's no telling how many people are dead directly as a result of his actions. So, yeah, you're right. It could have been a trick question, but you got it right. Hold on. Kathy will get the information.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot for playing Malloy Podcast Trivia, okay?
All right.
All right. Take care, Sam. Okay, if you're on hold to play it, come back next hour, the end of next hour, and we'll do it again, all right? Murder. Yeah, see, if people would just follow what has been laid out in Vince Bugliosi's book that Bob Alexander and Arminda and Jude and a bunch of other people got into the hands of 2,200 2,200 prosecutors across the country, then Bush would be arrested for murder. And I think any jury with being presented actual evidence of what he was involved in would convict him. But that's not where we live. We live someplace where people like Dick Cheney and George Bush and John Yoo and the rest of these sons of bitches can get away with whatever they choose to get away with. You don't think so? Look at their record. I want to go back to Private Bergdahl again. He was captured, first of all, he was captured June 30th, which is almost 3 weeks ago. And in listening to some broadcast news tonight, apparently his family has been aware of his capture. Through either the military or the State Department had notified them. I'm sure you saw the footage, which shows the soldier in apparent good condition. However, responding to prompts from the people off camera, his captors, Bergdahl called for U.S. forces to be returned home. Now, this colonel that was on Fox News almost suggested that that was treasonous. What else is a soldier going to say when faced with a situation where he believes, I'm sure, that if he doesn't say what his captors tell him to say, they will kill him? Whether or not that's the case is completely immaterial. It's what Private Bergdahl believes. And for this lieutenant colonel punk ass to sit in a Fox studio and make the statements that he made today is beyond outrageous. This guy ought to shut his goddamn mouth. Or if he wants to make an issue, this lieutenant colonel, then put on a uniform, put on your body armor, take a weapon, and take your ass over there, colonel. Dumping on a private. See, this always happens, doesn't it? It always happens. Remember Private Lindy, I can't even think of her last name, the one that was that took the fall for the torture that was ordered by the Pentagon in Iraq. Lindy England. It's just astonishing. In the video, Private Bergdahl says, quote, "I'm scared. I want people to go home. It is very unnerving to be a prisoner. I have my girlfriend who I'm hoping to marry. I have a very, very good family that I love back home in America," end quote. And then U.S. military officials denounce the video as a violation of the laws of war. Well, okay, fair enough. It is. You can't take people and who have been captured on a battlefield and use them as, in propaganda. That specifically is outlawed by the Geneva Conventions, but so is torture. Everything that we have done in Iraq, in Afghanistan, is outlawed, is illegal, has no basis in reality except the twisted goddamn mind of George Bush and his puppet master, Dick Cheney. So it's just I don't know how to say it. It's just infuriating to hear American authorities, military and non-military, suggesting that, by God, they better treat him regarding the laws of war or what? Or what? You'll hold your breath until you turn blue? About 10 before the hour, Irish Dave writes in, Mike, if according to the military authorities, this young private is a, quote, deserter, end quote, shouldn't they be trying to regain custody of him so they could detain and interrogate him in an enhanced manner and court-martial him for giving aid and comfort to the enemy, kind of like Coop McCain? Yeah, sure. And Jessica Lynch was a big hero, too. And Pat Tillman got a Silver Star for being friendly fired. Irish Dave. Yeah, well, the Dave is a veteran, I believe combat veteran, and he knows what he's talking about. Always looking for scapegoats. And Sarge writes in, the lieutenant colonel that was on Fox News was with McCain during his campaign. He was a so-called security advisor and argued why stop loss was a good thing. You know, not letting people out when their time was up. Wonder what he thought of McCain's denouncement of the USA during McCain's prisoner of war time. Yeah, I wonder too. Sam is calling from Hollywood, listening to KTLK. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, Mike. Good to talk to you again. This guy, this lieutenant colonel, this suit, he was actually interviewed on air by Tom Hartman at the end of his third hour this morning.
Really? How did that go?
And, well, he actually broached the subject of McCain. And, of course, it was completely and totally stepped over by this mouth, and he on air issued a retraction of his earlier statements, but not an apology.
A retraction of what? When he called this young soldier a coward?
Or? Yeah, everything. And, you know, Hartman was pretty speechless. But it was just an amazing coup to get this guy, and I think this lieutenant colonel is, you know, trying to do some backtracking as fast as
well,
he can.
Well, two things. Good for Tom for nailing this son of a bitch. But having said that, I would spit on his retraction. You know, there's an idea in Buddhism. First thought is the best thought, and which mean it doesn't mean it's best. It just means it's the most valid. So what came out of this guy's mouth, this lieutenant colonel at the very beginning, is what he really believes. Any kind of a retraction, that's horse snot. How do you retract something you've said? That's a physical, and psychological impossibility. You can't retract it. Once it's out, it's out. So, good on Hartman for, getting that out of him. But I would spit on his retraction.
True, true.
You know, this guy said some things about a soldier. A lieutenant colonel said some things about a soldier that if the soldier said it about lieutenant colonel, he'd be court-martialed and thrown out of the military.
Absolutely.
It's real disgusting. Thanks, Sam.
You bet.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. And we had somebody on hold, but a typical right-wing coward, he cut and run. Somebody who claimed he was in the military and said, I didn't have a right to talk about this kind of stuff. Unless I was active duty or said, look, if you're still listening, punk, I never went above a star rank in the Boy Scouts. However, neither did Dick Cheney. And so many of the people who committed our soldiers to death and being maimed and wounded and injured deliberately sought deferments. They were cowards from the word go. So don't you call this program. And I think when Kathy pointed that out to you and then put you on hold, you little whiny ass, you cut and run. You didn't stay on the phone so we could talk and the audience could hear what a freak you are. So don't call in like that. You know, any of you right wingers, if you got something to say and Kathy scares you off by pointing out some truth to you, wow. And you're really taking a risk with my short fused temper when you say something like, if I didn't serve inactive, or if I'm not in active duty, I have no business commenting on this issue. Are you out of your freaking mind? Don't even come up with that. And I doubt if you were a soldier anyway. So sit down, shut up, and stick your thumb back in your mouth, all right? God, it's only Monday. Greg is in Junction, Texas. Greg, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey.
I would like to say that, as an American, I am ashamed. This lieutenant colonel is an officer, and he's bagging on an enlisted man and blaming all of the problems that the officers make on enlisted men.
There you go.
This is shameful, and it's gone on long enough. As an American, I want us to act with honor. McCain made the same statements when he was a prisoner of the North Vietnamese.
Or worse.
Worse. He signed letters segregating the United States. And as far as treason goes, I feel sorry for this private who is caught in the middle.
Right.
He's just a working Joe trying to get through his life and survive this terrible ordeal that he's been made to suffer through.
There you go. There you go. And if at that point in this 23-year-old soldier's life, he's supposed to, crawl up this lieutenant colonel's hind end and display something that the lieutenant colonel obviously isn't capable of displaying. To me, it's an outrage. And I agree with you, Greg. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right. Take care. Man. Well, you know. Smedley Butler said a long time ago, war is a racket, and the biggest racketeers are people with clusters on their shoulders or stars or bars or whatever. All right, we'll be back after the break. I hope you're going to stick around, all right? I'm Mike Malloy.
If you're thinking of...
Welcome back. It is 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. A little bit more on the lieutenant colonel that was on Fox News the other morning, or was it this morning, who said referred to this private as a deserter and suggested the Taliban kill him to save the United States the time and energy and money, I guess, to put him on trial for desertion. Cindy writes, Mike, something is rotten in Denmark with that lieutenant colonel that is talking on Fox News. He cannot do that. Only the Department of the Army Public Information Office can speak for or take a position for the Army or any branch of the DOD. This guy is either retired or a complete phony, or he is going to have his butt in a giant crack with the Army Judge Advocate General's office. He's putting the Army in a bad spot. Cindy. And Irish Dave, Mike, I'm hardly sorry if you've gotten the impression I am a combat veteran. Veteran, yes. Vietnam, yes. But in an actual firefight, nope. Or as we say, sir, no, sir. I was in the U.S. Army Signal Corps, and the killing we did was more detached. Wasn't like it was him or you, more like they never knew what hit them. Got a real good look at it, though. P.S. Combat has a very specific meaning for the military, and the Signal Corps' motto is, we don't fight and you can't make us. Neener, neener, neener. Truly words to live by. Okay. I guess I should say that Irish Dave was a soldier in a combat zone. Let's do a few calls on this, and then we'll probably move on. George is calling from Bemidji, Minnesota. Is that right, Bemidji?
Right.
Welcome to the program, George.
Hello, Mike. I really enjoy listening to you. You say it like it is. I wish that the world wasn't in the state that it's been in. The epitome of its sorry state is now being exhibited and an NBC show called The Wanted.
Yeah.
Do we have enough trouble already with civil rights and with the reporters trying to stay safe? These guys, Rupert Murdoch's kid, his daughter bought her company Shine something or other, has the distribution rights to the stupid show.
You're kidding.
It's Dick Ebersol's kid, apparently spoiled 26-year-old brat who connived his way into getting this thing actually broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most absurd thing. I'm just so pissed off. I hate stupidness. I hate Republicans. And I hate this show, and I got to get off because I'm going to have a stroke.
Okay. All right. Thanks, George. Take a deep breath. It'll be okay. Honest to God, it will. Thanks, George. I appreciate you checking in. Regarding that program, I've been watching the promos for it. And before coming to the studio tonight, I notified my dish thingy to record it so I can watch it tonight when after we're off the air. I've got to see this. And for the very reasons that George said it was an outrage, I just want to see how far these bastards will go with this. Man. All right. I want to move away just a little bit from the story of this soldier who is in the hands of the Taliban. I feel like hell saying that. But the madness that exists in war, I think, is only topped or exceeded by the insanity here at home. For example, in Butler, Missouri, you hear about this? If you go into a dealership, a car dealership there called Max Motors, during the month of August, and buy a new car, the owner will give you an AK-47 assault rifle. He'll give it to you. This is the second consecutive year, according to Channel 5 in Kansas City, that this dealership has given away vouchers for a firearm as part of a sales promotion. Jesus Christ. The actual promotion gives those who buy a vehicle a voucher redeemable at a gun shop for the $450 it costs to get an AK-47. The owner is something named Mark Mueller, that figures. Herr Mueller says, quote, "We really are different than the big city dealers." Yeah. Herr Mueller also says, quote, by giving away the AK-47, he says, quote, "That way it separates you from anything bad that could happen. We just give the voucher. We'll put it in the hands of professionals who do this every day," end quote. I don't know what that means. Oh, he's another typical right-wing coward. He gives a voucher redeemable at a gun shop for the $450 it costs to get an AK-47. It's typical of right-wingers. Every last one of them, and you don't have to scratch very deep, is an absolute coward. An absolute coward. What?
That cannot be a real story.
No, it is.
I mean, that tops the take your gun to church day.
Yeah, it does. No, this is the second
giving
year.
Giving away AK. So road rage, not a problem here. I mean, just, you know, go ahead and blast your way out of the parking lot.
Oh, God.
That is insane.
This year, they're giving away the voucher for the AK-47, and Herr Mueller, who owns the dealership, said, "We already did handguns. Let's do something more fun. AKs. You ever shot an AK? Oh, they're a blast." End quote. Herr Mueller says he knows people are bound to be bothered by the promotion, even in his small town locale. One of those who's a little bit pissed off was interviewed by Channel 5, this guy named Gabe Johnston, who says, quote, "I would not encourage people to get an AK-47. I'm fine with a rifle, but maybe not assault rifles. I don't see the purpose of those guns," end quote. You don't? Well, Mr. Gabe Johnston, the purpose of those guns is to, first of all, make the owner's penis bigger, just hugely bigger, That's the first thing it does. And secondly, it kills people. That's the function of an AK-47, unless it's being used in combat. Then it's being used to further, at least on our side of the equation, the aims of predatory capitalism.
When did it become okay to give away guns?
No, he's giving away a voucher.
Well, okay, excuse me. I mean, what is he like, the Oprah Winfrey of you know, everybody reach under your seats. Here it is. It's a Glock 9. Woohoo!
They're sick. Herr Mueller said the purpose of any gun is protection. And over at his company, Max Motors, the purpose of the gun is selling cars. He says, quote, "We get a lot of press out of these kind of promotion. We sell a lot of cars, and we have a lot of fun." And this year's promotion is guns only, although Herr Mueller said customers can spend the voucher on a less expensive model, like a hunting rifle, or toward a more expensive one, like an AR-15, if they want to buy American. Son of a bitch. And what do you want to bet this rat bastard, what do you want to bet he goes to church and considers himself a born-again Christian? What do you want to bet? Herr Mueller and his Max Motors? Wow.
Max Motors.
Come on in and buy yourself a car.
Get locked and loaded at Max Motors.
We'll give you vouchers so you can make your penis bigger.
Ammo's on you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Some of these guys take ED pills, so-called. And, why doesn't he just give away, Cialis or Viagra or what's that other one? Enzyte is the pretend one. That's what the goofy looking bastard who has a grin on his face, right? No, that's a pretend one. That's probably just some kind of pharmaceutical speed.
I feel sorry for that guy. He will never work again. That is his one job in life. That is Enzyte. He's screwed. Literally.
Do you know, I would get out of the business if our ad agency called and said, we want you to do some Enzyte commercials. We'll be right back.
So would I.
I'm Mike Malloy.
Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang.
You're invited to the Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only.
Didn't even say goodbye. He didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. I hit the ground. Bang, bang. That awful sound. Bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
It's 20. God, I could sit here and listen to that. 22 past the hour. All right, we'll take a couple more calls on this. Tom is in Algoma, Wisconsin. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I appreciate your show. It's one of the better ones. I listen to Sirius all day, 146, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I live in Mississippi now, but I'm up in Wisconsin. And this crap about this light journal, he is a disgrace to the military. I'm a veteran of Desert Storm and Vietnam. My daughter was with me in Desert Storm, and she would be disgraced by this guy, too. And What I mean, where are these people coming from?
I don't know.
What school did he go to? It's a different military school than I went to.
Yeah.
He's not a candidate of officers' cannon school, because if he ever was, he wouldn't be talking so stupid.
Yeah, and you know, you could say, and thanks, Tom, I appreciate what you had to say. You could say this guy, like that email I got from Cindy, this guy's way out of line and is getting himself in deep trouble to come out and make categories. And that may be the reason that he got on Tom Hartman's program today and tried to retract his statements. He probably got a quick phone call from somebody in the Public Affairs Department, the Department of Defense, and just saying, what the hell are you doing? Well, you know, why are you getting out there calling this young man a deserter? Why are you getting out there making suggestions that this soldier ought to be killed by the Taliban to save the United States a lot of money? See, if I don't know how those rules work for retirees, but if I had the power and position, I worked in the Pentagon, I'd strip this son of a bitch down. I'd take all his rank away, take all of his benefits away, and then sue him for whatever he's been paid since he crept his miserable ass out of the military and started saying things like that on the air about a 23-year-old soldier who I don't care what the situation is, whether he was caught drifting away from his group, whether like some reports now are saying, he armed himself with 5 or 6 knives, took a day's supply of water, and said, I'm going to the mountains. What the hell does that tell you? What does that tell you? What, that he's a deserter? Or that he's completely freaked out? Oh, man. Crazy. Crazy stuff. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Regarding this commentator on the TV about the soldier, from what I've seen on TV and different cable news stations, that he is indeed retired, which is, of course, no excuse. It's repugnant, but to those of us that are 50-plus, maybe a little younger, we've been to this rodeo before. It was Vietnam. It's all happening again.
Yeah.
And it's real sad, and it's real outrageous. And I, for one, will be counseling two of my daughters to make sure that none of their children even consider the military, as long as this kind of mindset still exists.
Right.
It has to stop, and it needs to come from all walks of life, entertainment figures, political figures. You, sir, keep it lit very well. And eventually it's going to require us to get out in the streets again with bad hips and bad knees, but get out there and stop this nonsense. And just might add that, Cronkite did have an effect on stopping the war, but when mothers and grandmothers got in the street, that's when it happened.
That's very true. That's absolutely true. Steve, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate your call. Thanks for checking in. You know, we talked about this before. If you're serious about living honorably as an American and you're a parent, there's one thing you can do. Don't let your child under any circumstances participate in the militaristic continuation of corporate America. Tell your kid, no, you're not joining the military. I'll break both your damn legs before I let you join the military. We have a military presence in what, 150 countries? Can you imagine if we folded up all our tents and came home? Why do we have a military presence in those countries? Are we at war with them? No, we're not. Why are we there? To protect U.S. interests? What are U.S. interests? You get the drift. Bring them home. Bring them all home. Shut the goddamn thing down. We have enough nuclear weapons. Israel has 200 nuclear weapons. They're not afraid. We have 9,000. You're going to tell me we're afraid? Iraq and a hard, hard place. Mothers in arms, what would you do?
better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Here comes the revolution. Time.
It's about 25 before the hour. Got an email here from Tom about the car dealership giving away vouchers for AK-47s. And the kind of slap-happy, dumbass, cavalier attitude of the Herr Mueller who runs the car dealership. Tom writes, Mike, imagine a car dealership giving away vouchers for the great books of literature. Don't forget, these people are Christians. What America does not understand is that religion and freedom cannot coexist any more than oil and water can blend into one. That's why they must kill America. That's why they are dismantling it. That's why they must destroy everything that lives, because all life is a repudiation of their death cult. If people are free, happy, have more than a living wage, can send their kids to college, and are able to enjoy good health, then deliverance would be nothing more than the movie it is, and nobody would need to hear about the fraud every Sunday. About the fraud and the lies of their pie-in-the-sky delusions. And that's the problem. Every Sunday, 70% of America gives its allegiance to their religion first and their humanity and their country second. That's why they're destroying the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They are a codependent people who outsource their liberty and salvation to their sky god. And rather than put their sky god out of a job, they'd rather destroy America. When enough people realize this, and the institutions of government are returned to the people and not the corporations, religion will disappear from the face of the earth, and the celebration can begin. Tom. Yaha. Rob is calling from Huntington Beach, listening on KTLK.
Oh, Mike.
Hey, Rob.
It's an honor to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I really respect the things you... You know, your attempted truth, you know, that's all we can really do. I just wanted to make a few points that it really blows me away. I can't believe the spokespeople, the spokesman for, you know, the right wing. When you look at like a Glenn Beck, such a pinhead, and Sean Hannity, I don't want to call names, but I mean, these are true scum of the earth because they're all millionaires. And
yeah.
They're speaking for, what, the middle class, and the vile that comes out of these guys' mouths. It just blows me away. And
yeah, they're cowards, they're sneaks, and they're liars. And those are three categories of human being that just turns my stomach. And I have never been able to figure out why people listen to guys like you just mentioned, like Hannity or Beck or Limbaugh, because they are liars and sneaks and cowards. And I don't get that. Unless the people listening are of the same mindset, they also are liars, sneaks, and cowards. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, there's the misinformed and the uninformed. I think that the people that listen and believe in these people are truly uninformed. And you know, I don't hate anybody. I mean, it's hard not to hate the guys I just said. But you know, I try to put hate out of my mind. But if it comes out, it's from, you know, I'd be afraid to see what I would do if I saw Sean Hannity in public. I don't think I would, you know, assault him or anything, but I would definitely have a word with him because it would be an opportunity. But I believe in re-educating some of these right-wing guys. I mean, I'll see these guys going around with, you know, bumper stickers saying socialism, blah, blah, blah. They don't even know what the word
no.
means. They
no.
don't realize that Medicare is a social program, and, mm-hmm. and helping the poor is a good thing. You know, it's almost like if it's out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. You know, if the poor aren't in my community, in my millionaire community, then that's all we're
sure.
talking about. I could go on, Mike, forever. But
I understand. I don't know why these punks don't realize that their Jesus was a community organizer, that Jesus was a socialist, that Jesus, if anything, he was beyond socialism. He was more like a communist.
He was a great man. He was somebody that was willing to die for his sins and our sins, whatever that means. You know, I'm not saying that he was connected to whatever God means, but obviously he was, you know. It doesn't, you know, what more cojones does it take than to say, I will die for what I believe?
Well, the next time you have an occasion to send an email to or have any conversation with these people you're mentioning, toss that out and see how they react. Rob, thanks, man. Got to move on. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. All right. It is time. It is time once again. It is, let's play the trivia podcast music, theme music. We're going to play trivia podcast Malloy giveaway thingy. There it is. It is time once again for trivia, where you can win a free 1-year subscription to the Malloy Program podcast. All you have to do is pick the correct multiple choice question. Are we ready? I think we are ready. I think we are ready. Sheldon is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Sheldon.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you ready to play podcast trivia on the Malloy Program?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you nervous?
Yeah. Your
heart's not...
shivering.
Your heart's beating fast?
Oh, it's racing incredibly fast.
All right. I don't want you to have any kind of a stroke or heart attack or anything. So,
no.
All right. Now listen closely and see if you can win this hour's free Malloy podcast subscription. Here we go. Fill in the blanks in the following Bush quote. Quote, I know how hard it is to put blank on your blank. Would it be put peace on your country, put food on your family, put gasoline on your cars, or put shoes on your feet?
All right. I think it was food on your family.
Food on your family. Did you say food on your family?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You win. All right. Another winner. Yay. Another 1-year podcast subscription Malloy Program, courtesy of an anonymous donor. Way to go, Sheldon. Now, stay where you are, all right? I'm going to put you on hold.
Thanks, Mike, and keep up. Good work.
Thank you, sir. Kathy will get on the phone here and get the pertinent information. All right. If you are on hold to play tonight's podcast trivia, we'll do the next one in about 45 minutes. So you can hang up and call back, or you can just switch from what you were going to do and talk to us. all right. We have a bulletin here from Prairie 2, our economics correspondent. The subject line is, the rest of us should make other plans. Prairie 2 writes, CIT, the 18th largest bank in the U.S., announced today that it has obtained emergency financing from its bondholders, and that will keep the bank in business for the short term. The Obama administration refused to intervene with additional TARP money despite CIT's domination of the loan market for small and medium businesses. The real economy seems to be of no concern to the former Goldman Sachs executives in Obama's Treasury Department that keep the paper economy churning. Even with CIT taking a small step back from the brink, the thousands of companies that depend on them for operating loans are still in a perilous position, most of which would find it difficult or impossible to find financing should CIT fail. Today's news was dominated by reports of the private non-government conference board of leading economic indicators that does, on average, show the economy is not collapsing at the previous rate. These indicators are heavily dependent on polls of business leaders. Meanwhile, the Obama administration is delaying the release of a key economic report that is mandated by Congress. The Office of Management and Budget will delay by several weeks the annual report, which takes the measure of economic growth, job creation, and budget deficits. Intended to update assumptions that were used to create the administration's budget for next year, the updated report is expected to be filled with dire economic news. And out in the real world, things are only getting worse. In Goldman Sachs' world, they are planning record bonuses. The bubble is well on its way to recovery. The rest of us should make other plans. Go to Prairie 2's website and debate it with him. Prairie, numeral 2, pray2.com, pray2.com. Our unpaid, of course. Everybody on this program is unpaid, more or less. Economics advisor. Thanks, Bruce. Dorian is calling from Los Angeles, listening
yes,
on Kate.
Yes, yeah, hi. How are you feeling? This is my first time caller. Boy, I love your show.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, and I want to make two of the bad things about Eric Holder. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
Because of the fact, anyway, and like I was telling your wife, anyway, I believe only two things. Now, either Eric Holder made a deal with the Republican Party not to pursue Bush and the criminals that left the White House, or his life is in danger. Now, I would not put it past this monster who left the White House that he very well may have threatened him. Yes. With death. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I, who knows? Don't forget, Dick Cheney was running an assassination squad, apparently, or had plans to, or did, or maybe, or who knows, or, oh, well. Thanks, Dorian. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Spell the name of.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome.
Ten before the hour. I love reading this at CNN's website, reported by Jill Doherty. The State Department today continued to publicly downplay the so-called threat that North Korea presents to the United States. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley told reporters that North Korea, quote, represents an infinitesimal threat to the United States directly, end quote. It's just one more example of the lies and deception and fear that the Bush crime family pumped into this society for 8 long years. The statement by Crowley followed comments during an interview with ABC by Hillary Clinton, in which it was broadcast today, in which she said that the reason for the United States' low-key reaction to North Korea's recent missile tests was that the United States wasn't going to give the North Koreans the satisfaction they were looking for, which was to elevate them to center stage. And in that interview, Clinton also said that North Korea has a constant demand for attention. She added, maybe it's the mother in me, the experience I've had with small children and teenagers and people who are demanding attention. Don't give it to them. Yeah. Okay. That certainly could apply other places too, right, Madam Secretary? Anyway, after calling the threat to the U.S. infinitesimal, the State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley went on to say that, quote, North Korea and its provocative actions does represent a significant threat to the region, and its actions recently have been unhelpful and potentially destabilizing, end quote. Apparently our concern now that we have some adults, and we don't like the adults in charge for a number of reasons, but you also have to recognize the difference, between the adults in charge now and the crazy people that ran the country for 8 years. We can still and do completely disagree with President Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and other many other members of the Obama administration. We can disagree with them on a number of levels, but they're not insane. and the Bush crime family to the last man and woman were a bunch of crazy sons of bitches who were hell-bent on ending the world. That's all. So disagree with the Democratic Obama administration? You betcha. But they're not crazy. They may be motivated by the same, or whipped, I should say, by the same banking financial services cartel that every administration in the history of this country for the past 150 years has been whipped. But again, they're not crazy. At least, not completely crazy. So, while we were told for 8 long years that North Korea was part of an axis of evil that included Iran and Iraq, son of a bitch, unbelievable stuff, unbelievable stuff. The adults with whom we all disagree, who are now in charge of the government in this country, point out the obvious, that the threat, so-called, from North Korea is infinitesimal. I'm sure that will cause the people on Fox Channel to wet their pants and scream and dance and shriek about how this is further proof that Obama is nothing more than a comm simp. Ah, man. Art is in Winnipeg in Canada. Hey, Art.
Hey, Mike. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm so excited. I'll just try to keep myself calm. Listen, I just wanted to talk about Canadian Medicare for a second. I just wanted
sure.
to you once asked, you once said, I don't know why anyone listens to this program. And you were talking about your program, and the answer is because you're a good man, Mike.
That's very kind, but I just mean in the great scheme of things, you know, there's much more important things to do. But that's kind of you to say that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I just wanted to give people here, I'll try to be quick. I went to a walk-in clinic here in Winnipeg, which is we're in the center of Canada, near north. North of North Dakota.
Right.
I went to see a doctor. I waited an hour and a half. I got 2 prescriptions, and I found out that I had dangerously high blood pressure. So he gave me a medication, and I'm going to see a specialist on Thursday. And I just wanted to tell people out there that my experience is not an exception. That's the norm here. We're single payer. That's really how it works here, Mike.
And, sure.
You know, you people have been hearing stories about the rationing. You've covered all that stuff. It's not true, Mike. If you need care here, you get it here. And I just want to let your listeners know that that's true, and they shouldn't doubt that they're fighting a good fight.
Well, thanks. And I think a lot of people in the U.S. Feel that way, Art. We've been, you know, we've been conditioned to believe. Not all of us, the majority of us, though, apparently, have been conditioned to believe that government-sponsored health care, not government-controlled, but government-sponsored health care, that any effort by the government to bring health care to everybody is somehow against our best interests. It's amazing. These right-wingers in corporate America couldn't have done a better job. The only thing that would have been a better job is if they would have convinced Americans that water will kill you. You must stop drinking water. Drink sand. Drink tree bark. But for God's sake, whatever you do, don't drink water. That's what this is like. Hey, Art, thanks, man. And get your BP checked out. All right? Talk to you later, Art. Call again. We'll be back after the break, y'all. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects your health.
God, I love Bugs in the Machine. Beta Prostate? Okay. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program, as you can tell. It's, did I say it's 7 past the hour? I had a kind of a weird experience on Saturday, and I've just got to share it with you. It's so tiny, just a little anecdote, and it means nothing. Well, it does mean something, but we had to go to the grocery store, big chain here in the South, Kroger store, and the Midwest, Kroger store. A lot of you are familiar with Kroger. Some of you have never heard of it. It's like Food Giant or whatever, you know, Kroger store. It, I guess it's still based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I don't know, but a massive chain grocery store. So we had to pick up 4 or 5 things. And, I never should have done this because two or three of the 4 or 5 things were produce. And, there are plenty of produce stands near where we were. And where we live. So it was a real bad move on my part. But we also needed to pick up, I don't know, some milk or eggs or something. So it just made sense. Okay, go to Kroger's. So we go into Kroger's, and I go into the produce section, and I see a great big sign that says navel oranges, because that's what I want. I love navel oranges. And I went over and looked at the navel oranges. And each navel orange had a little green sticker on it that said product of South Africa. South what? South Africa? I mean, I live in Georgia, where 100 miles south of here, just below Macon, there are orange groves. And you go a little bit further and you hit Florida. Hello, Florida. So I stopped the nearest clerk. Nice woman. And I said, is the produce manager around? No, he's off on Saturday, she said. Well, she said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm freaking out here. We live in Georgia. These oranges are all the way from South Africa, where it's not even summer. I mean, South Africa right now, it's winter, right? Huh? South Africa. Why does Kroger's have oranges from South Africa? Please explain this. And she said, oh my God, I have no idea. She said, it didn't even occur to me. I said, look. So we walked over to this mound of navel oranges, each one with a little green sticker, South Africa. So, she said, I'll pass it on your complaint. I said, yeah, you know, we're regular customers. We buy stuff in here. And with all the focus right now on carbon footprint, with all the focus on buy local, with all the focus on the fact that this is Georgia, for Christ's sake, we grow oranges here. Oops, sorry. She said, So we went our separate ways, and I'm going up and down the aisles snatching the things I wanted, and I'm just, it really has me freaked out. So 10 minutes later, I'm standing in the checkout line, and the woman clerk comes up to me, and she said, I called our produce manager. I have an answer for you. I said, what? She said, well, he says that they're cheaper from South Africa. I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, we could get oranges from Florida, navel oranges, and put them out here on the shelf, and they would cost $1.34 a piece. I said, you're, no offense to you, ma'am. I realize you're caught in the middle here. But you're kidding me. There is a produce stand right down the road. She said, Sherry's? I said, yeah, Sherry's produce stand, where oranges are, navel oranges from Florida are 50 cents per. And your manager tells you they're $1.34? They're 50 cents. I said, did he tell you how much these cost from South Africa? She said, no, but we got them cheaper than $1.34. I said, no, you didn't. You really didn't. When you factor in all the costs, just factor in the carbon cost. No. She said, well, I understand. So we left, and I drove down to Sherry's produce stand, which was about a mile and a half down the road, and went in and told the guy there, and he said, yeah, we have a rule here. We try to not buy anything that's further than 100 miles away. He said, how many Florida navel oranges do you want? I said, 6. He said, $3. End of story. I know. There are things much more important than my little story about navel oranges. But isn't that part of the what we're dealing with here? You know? We get navel oranges from South Africa, and we send our military to 150 different countries. And I have become absolutely convinced that the best way to try to establish a soul in this poor, sad 232-year-old country, the best way is not raising our hands up to the clouds and swaying back and forth and speaking in tongues. No, the first step would be for us parents to absolutely forbid, from the moment our kids can think, forbid them to even consider supporting the United States military on any level. Don't let them play with soldiers. Don't let them play with toy guns. Don't let them watch Xbox videos that are nothing but shoot 'em up, bang, bang. And tell them over and over and over again that war is disgusting, it's murder, it's filth, that with the exception of one or two species, no creature in the animal kingdom does it. You know the riff. Just on and on and on. To absolutely bring the military in this country to a brick wall, to a halt. To take seriously what Eisenhower said 50-some years ago. To finally take it seriously. Can you imagine? In the first place, we would have about $1 trillion a year of found income. That's about what we're spending, best guess, on the military. And what's it being used for? I mean, what is it being used for? $1 trillion a year? Jesus, every year. It's been creeping up now. Don't support it. Just don't. You know that old saying, support the troops, but don't support the military. Well, I guess in a transition period, that would have to be the case. Because so many, not all, but so many of the people who joined the military did so for reasons other than wanting to advance corporatist, capitalist, predatory policies of the American banking institutions and so on and so on. You know that riff too. Some of them joined the U.S. military because they're psychopaths and give you a chance to go kill things and smash stuff legally. Don't support the military. Tell your children to stay the hell away from it. Tell your grandchildren, don't go near it. If you're serious, if you're really serious, and why? Like I said earlier, we have not, what do we have? I think it's 9,000 nuclear-tipped warheads. How many factors do we have to have of global destruction before we've got enough? We don't need this anymore. We just don't. Like Pink Floyd said in The Wall, bring the boys home, right? Bring the boys back home. Oh, my God. The more I think about this, you know, I have friends, people I know who live nearby who have a son or grandson that is in the military or planning on going in. And they, don't forget where I live now, foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. And they see it as an honorable move. And I don't try to talk them out of it. I just figure that's not my, you know, that's not my place. I can sit on this radio program and say it. But if you're serious, well, you know.
Coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It is 21 past the hour. Coming up after the next break, we're going to do the final podcast trivia giveaway. So we'll take these calls that are on hold. And any more calls that come in right now, it'll be for podcast trivia, okay? See if you can win one of these one-year subscriptions. Mark is in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We'd like to have you out here again.
I hope so. I think John Scott will probably work something out. He's the head honcho over at Green 960. I hope so. I had a great time out there.
We love you out here. Anyway, I wanted to bring up, what kind of legacy is Eric Holder going to have when we had the worst criminal administration in our history? Basically destroyed this country, get away with murder.
You know, I think about that a lot. It's awful. And I think the inability of the Obama administration, and that would be Obama and Eric Holder, to really move against these bastards when both Obama and Holder and most of us understand what they did, what the Bush crime family did. The inability of them to move and indict these criminals is, I think it speaks volumes about, not their cowardice, not their personal politics, but the fact that they understand that there truly is nothing they can do. I hope that's not the case, but by nothing they can do, I mean the outcry would be so intense. From corporate America, from the right wing, and even from some conservative Democrats, from the church pews, from the synagogues, there would be this screaming cascade of sound that said, how dare you indict these people when it's a matter of policy difference. So I don't know. I still would like to see Obama or Holder or both of them stand shoulder to shoulder and just say, no, we don't give a goddamn about reelection. We don't care. We are going to go after the criminals that destroyed this country. You think it'll happen, Mark?
I hope it would happen. I won't hold my breath. But, Mike, if it isn't done, what kind of country do we have? I think our country's gone. If they don't convict these criminals, what kind of integrity do we have left in government? We have none.
I know.
Absolutely none. And it's not up to Nancy Pelosi or any individual politician to say that we can't convict criminals when they violate the law and when they're in the government.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's appalling. And not only that, Mike, but we've got a war with the Republican Party. They want to destroy health care. They want to take our Social Security. They want to destroy the middle class. This is war. We're not here to pussyfoot with this Republican Party. They're out to destroy us. Something's got to be done. I think maybe if we ask Holder to resign, maybe that's what it's going to take. I don't know. I really don't, Mike, but we don't have a country left if these guys get away with this. Really, we don't.
Well, I hear you, Mark, loud and clear, and you and I are on the same page, and I think a lot of Americans are. A lot of people who do want to see this country try to develop a lawful center, a soul, a correct attitude. But you know, it's a shouting match in this country right now, and the people with the biggest megaphones are the people with the smallest brains, and we're kind of stuck. Mark, thanks, man. I appreciate what you had to say. I wish you didn't have to say it, but yeah. Press is calling from Santa Rosa, California, also listening on Green 960. Hey, Press.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
I appreciate it. You know, that's the thing I was calling about. But first, let my Ulaanbaatar domestic peel me a Chilean grape, if you have a moment.
Right. Right. Okay.
And that's further that, I think that actually might even be further than South Africa, but maybe not.
Well, I think it probably would be. Oh my God!
I don't know where I came up with Ulaanbaatar, but I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Certainly far away.
Yeah, it is.
But
it's where on the other side of Mongolia, isn't it, or
yeah,
someplace
it is.
Somewhere over there.
In there?
Yeah,
in the interior, where all the people came from, them from Chiapas and everywhere.
Right.
But anyway, I wanted to say that I think you might be wrong. And that I think there might not be a great outcry against indictment. I really think that there's enough people. Everybody's just afraid to speak up for various reasons. I think Obama might even be afraid because I'm telling you, you know, he's probably seen the Zapruder film.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I do.
And another thing I wanted to say is, too, that I think that the main reason I called, I was thinking about that scummy lieutenant colonel, whoever it was. I heard a clip on Fox News about how he talked about that guy taking care of by the Taliban.
Yeah.
I mean, that there needs to be some person. I don't know who it is. Maybe wonderful Gore Vidal. Somebody. Somebody's got to stand up and call these people for what they are. Say, how dare you, sir? Finally.
Yeah.
Have you no shame, et cetera, et cetera. And nobody's standing up, and these things are going unanswered. It makes me absolutely crazy.
Well, you're trust me on this, Press. You're not alone. And we're out of time for this segment, but you notice how all of a sudden it seems like Dennis Kucinich doesn't exist anymore as far as media is concerned, right? Thanks, Press. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be back after the break. And we're going to give away one more Molloy podcast subscription free. Stay with us.
My name is Dave.
Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon on the highway and up to 600 highway miles in a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. Before the hour. All right. It is time once again for Molloy Show Podcast Trivia. Once again this evening. It's all yours, Johnny. What is the, what's behind door number 26? Well, Mike, you know what it is. All right. Let's see. We do have some players. All right, good. Now, if you're on hold to play and the person in front of you gets it right, well, maybe next time, right? Brian is in Beverly Hills, California.
Hello.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
All right, now, here we go. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, now, wait, before we do this, why in the world would you want a podcast subscription to this program?
Well, it would be an honor to have one, and that's it.
That's the right answer. That's good. I like that. All right. Here's your trivia question with four possible answers. During the Vietnam War, George W. Bush allegedly served in what branch of service? A, the Navy SEALs, B, Special Forces, C, U.S. Coast Guard, or D, Texas Air National Guard?
Could you say them again, please?
Yes, I will. During the Vietnam War, George W. Bush allegedly served in what branch of service? The Navy SEALs, Special Forces, U.S. Coast Guard, or the Texas Air National Guard?
I'll say D.
D, the Texas Air National Guard. All right! Oh, my God! You win the new car! Oh, no, wait. No, I'm sorry. We don't... No, we don't have a new car. I'm
you
sorry.
You have a gun and a car.
Oh, yeah. We're we're also giving away AK-47s.
I don't have a podcast on a car.
AK-47s with your new podcast. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Way to go, Brian. Let me put you on hold, and Kathy will get the pertinent information. And if you're on hold to play trivia, well, we had our three winners tonight. But we will be doing this again this Friday. So I don't know if you can stand the wait. But if you can, come Friday, which is 4 days hence, we'll be giving away three more free subscriptions to the Molloy Show podcast. Okay? The Republicans are really going nuts, aren't they? The newest crazy person to attack Barack Obama's kind of feeble attempt, from my point of view, to bring health insurance to everybody in this country. The newest attacker is Jim DeMint, another freak ass from South Carolina. That's a nest of them over there. You know what I'm saying? It's just an absolute nest of morons and Christian adulterers and Christian thieves and Christian liars and Christian thugs. They're just everywhere in South Carolina government. Anyway, now he is suggesting that defeating the healthcare initiative, as weak and as pissy as it is from the Obama administration, will do the following. He says, this is what he says. They had a conference call today. He and some of these other Republican filth, they had a conference call today, and he said, quote, this is Jim DeMint, punk from South Carolina, quote, "I can almost guarantee you this thing won't pass before August. And if we can hold it back until we go home for a month's break in August, members of Congress will hear from outraged constituents. He says, senators and congressmen will come back in September afraid to vote against the American people. And this health care issue is D-Day for freedom in America. So if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him." Now, last week, DeMint, and arguably he is the Senate's most right-wing, and that's debatable because so many Republicans in there are just absolute neo-Nazis. That's all they are. But last week, he told an audience at the National Press Club that the United States is currently, quote, "about where Germany was before World War II," end quote. And as Steve Bannon, writing at Crooks and Liars, says, everything about his remarks, his sense of history, the understanding of current events, the philosophy, was a special kind of stupid. But DeMint seems quite pleased with himself and keeps coming up with new and creative insanity. I mean, what an ignorant son of a bitch. And he's a United States senator, which indicates the level of political awareness or self-respect that you'll find in South Carolina. It doesn't exist. When they send people like this thug to Washington to do what? When they have a governor like Sanford who while he's, jet-setting around to have sex with his soulmate, the state is going right down the toilet where it concerns education or industry or health care. I mean, goddamn, how did these people get elected? Well, they get voted for, Molloy. That's how. Well, I rest my case. So many people who claim to be of voting age, who claim to be able to determine which is the better candidate or the best candidate, depending on the race, here in the South, are just ignorant as dirt. I mean, it's astonishing, and as easily manipulable as a pile of careful now, as a pile of wet clay. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. And Obama's health care initiative is being presented as national socialism. That's what these sons of bitches are talking about. National socialism. Oh, my God. He was on, DeMint was on G. Gordon Liddy's show. When was it? Was it Sunday? Was it last week? And DeMint agreed with this thug, this ex-felon, G. Gordon Liddy, who famously said he would kill his own mother if he was ordered to by Richard Nixon. And the irony here is that G. Gordon Liddy has a history of expressing sympathetic views to the Nazis. Liddy hates Jews. He hates homosexuals. He hates the very people that Hitler decided to murder by the millions. G. Gordon Liddy is a perfect example of somebody who, well, we never mentioned the dumb bastard on this program when we're talking about, the right-wing thugs. G. Gordon Liddy has a small but violently right-wing audience who listens to him like, I don't know, like the disciples listened to Jesus, I guess. But Liddy said Obama has created a government like that under Hitler. Here's what Liddy said, quote, "But there's something else that I remember because I'm a lot older than you are, and it's called National Socialism, and that's where the government allows private people to continue to own industrial capacity and what have you, but tells them what they may, what they must do with it. You know, you will make Messerschmitts, etc. That was National Socialism. That seems to me the way we're going," end quote. That's Liddy. This punk DeMint chimes in with, quote, "You're right, we've got national socialism, national paternalism, and our form of socialism seems more benign than the classical form that we noted in Europe," end quote. I mean, I don't even know how to comment on the butt-level ignorance of that, those kinds of statements. And G. Gordon Liddy, who would have mind-blowing orgasms if he could have been in the Nazi high command. That was the one thing I think G. Gordon really feels bad that he missed out on, that he couldn't have sat up there with Goebbels and Becker and Hitler and Himmler and the rest of these swine and could have ordered the deaths of millions. I think that's what G. Gordon, he's just so pissed off that somehow his God and his involvement in natural selection denied him a chance to sit on that Nazi high command. He's kind of like Pat Buchanan in that regard. Man, it's just unbelievable. And he's got a radio program, and he's syndicated, and he has sponsors to his show. And that in the United States. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 10 before the hour. We have an open line or two here if you want to get something said real quick. Let's do it. 877-996-2556. No more trivia for tonight. I'd like to get one more call from the Heartland tonight. Do you live in the Heartland? 877-996-2556. Thanks to the crew tonight. Our technical advisor is Ben Birch. Military Affairs Correspondent Sharon Gordy. Bruce Enberg is our Economic Affairs Correspondent. And the ethical advisors for this program are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. The executive producer and engineer, both, is Kathy Bay. And I must say, while we had a couple of gremlins tonight, it wasn't as bad as it's been. One of these days, when enough people subscribe to podcasts, we might have some money left over at the end of the month so we can upgrade some of the equipment. You think? Speaking of those podcasts, if you were not a winner tonight, you can still become a Malloy program supporter by subscribing to the podcast. It'll cost you under $60 a year, which works out to 25 cents a program. You know that. I've said that a million times. Plus, it gives you access to some other stuff. Well, not a whole lot, but, well, actually only one more thing, and that would be the Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, which we have to get a new one up there pretty quickly. But 25 cents a program to be a Malloy Show podcast subscriber. And if you do that, you have no idea how that 25 cents keeps us going. I can't explain it. So consider that. Okay? Just go to MikeMalloy.com. The information is there. And I think it's been simplified. If you had intended to subscribe before and got to the website and went, wait a minute, damn, what the hell? I think it's a little bit, if you go to MikeMalloy.com, the first thing you see is, don't have a podcast account yet? Click here. A great big banner right across the front. For your commercial-free Malloy cast, only 25 cents. What's the rest of it? Oh, it's animated. 25 cents a show. Makes a great gift, only they've got makes spelled wrong. They've got an apostrophe in it. Oh, my God. Who wrote that? All right. See? You just can't win, right? Ralph is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Hey, Ralph.
Hey there.
Hi.
Just real quick, two things I heard you talking about this evening. One was medical system. I actually spent my entire life except one day under socialized medicine in the United States. And that's because my daddy was in the Army, and I went to the Air Force, and I was a retired officer. It did darn well by me, and I think all the rest of our citizens ought to have the same benefit.
The same benefit of?
Socialized medicine.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My mind just kind of wandered there. I don't even think it should be called socialized medicine. It's public health care, or I don't know. Okay, I'll concede the language. It's just that you know how it is in this country, Ralph. You start using a term like that, and people just wet their pants.
Oh yeah,
you know. They conjure up all the lies and deceptions that have been put in their head about so-called socialized medicine, and they just lose it. But
I survived it.
Yeah, well, I think if you look around the world, a lot of people have and done quite well since we're now, 27th in life expectancy, and all the countries ahead of us, for the most part, have so-called socialized medicine. But don't tell that to the Americans who are terrified of the word socialized, because they'll just lose it completely. Thanks, Ralph.
All right,
man, appreciate you checking in. Roger's in Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Mike. Long time no talk.
Yeah, where you been?
Well.
Oh, never mind. Talk to me now.
last time I talked to you, you were on Air America, and actually, we had a beer together in Wisconsin. I don't know if you remember that either.
Ah, yeah, I do. I do. And I was at University of Wisconsin, the campus out there in Snowland.
Yeah, it was a very nice evening. I had to pull myself away, as you may remember.
I do.
Anyway, Mike, I share your appreciation of Walter Cronkite, and here was the thought that I wanted to share. I tried to get in at the end of the show last Friday, but didn't get squeezed in. That I've been listening to your show since the last couple of years of the IE America thing, and you referred to it as sort of the campfire that we gather around. And, you know, what Walter Cronkite did was he united people. It was partly a fluke of history and technology, the way that things were, not as splintered as they are now, but also his spirit. He united people on a national level. We were sort of together, and it reminded me a little bit of the way that your show is a campfire for so many of us. But imagine that having been a uniting force that, you know, helped turn the country against the Vietnam War, for example. You know,
yeah.
It was a very powerful campfire.
Yeah, so, that's true. That's true. And the reason I use that metaphor is because I've said before a million times, and you know this, Roger, we've talked about this, that, you know, I don't have any answers. These situations and problems that we're dealing with now are so much bigger than me. Now, bigger than you and bigger than everybody that listens to this program. Now, if we could ever get 15 or 20 million people out in the streets, all of a sudden the problems wouldn't seem so big. That's for damn sure. Roger, gotta go. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Take care. And if we didn't get to your call tonight, I apologize. We'll get to you tomorrow night for sure. All right. Take care, y'all. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you thinking?